فالحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فهذا درس في تفسير تيسير الكريم الرحمن في تفسير كلام المنان للشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى. وكنا قد وصلنا في الأسابيع الماضية حيث أننا توقفنا لفترة العيد، عيد الأضحى السنة 1428 أو يقولون الثامنة والعشرين بعد الألف والربعمائة، في طريقة معينة يقولها أهل اللغة وأنا لست من أهلها، والحمد لله على كل حال. الخلاصة أننا وصلنا إلى قوله جل وعلا، أظن كانت الآية رقم 27، الآية رقم 27. We made it to verse number 27 from سورة الكهف. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? Right. ولا يشرك في حكم أحدا. No, he actually mentioned that. Hold on. Actually, after much revision, we came to the conclusion that we were actually at the middle of verse number 28. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الله عز وجل said, واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا. We mention here, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and remain patient with yourself with those who call upon their Lord during the morning and during the evening, seeking His face and His pleasure. And Allah told Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to look away from them, seeking the adornment of this life, of this world. And do not obey that whom we have concealed his heart from our remembrance, and he has followed his desires, and his affair was that of a furuta. How did they translate furuta? What was the last word translated in verse number 28?
Lost.
Aywa. Mumtaz. طيب. Allah Azza wa Jal commands the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who follow him in his goodness regarding the يأمر تعالى نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وغيره أسوته في الأوامر والنواهي أن يصبر نفسه مع المؤمنين العباد المنيبين الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي أي أول النهار وآخره يريدون بذلك وجه الله، فوصفهم بالعبادة والإخلاص فيها، ففيها الأمر بصحبة الأخيار ومجاهدة النفس على صحبتهم ومخالطتهم وإن كانوا فقراء، فإن في صحبتهم من الفوائد ما لا يحصى. The Sheikh mentioned that we were supposed to, with the Prophet ﷺ and those who follow him, were commanded to be patient with those believers, the worshippers, those who often return to Allah, who supplicate to him during the morning and the evening, seeking the pleasure of Allah. So Allah described them with worship and sincerity in their worship. And in this particular verse is the command and the obligation of hanging out with the good people, befriending the righteous people, and struggling with the soul to remain with them and to mix with them, even if they're poor, even if they don't have money. Because the result of mixing with them, yani, are many benefits. The result of mixing is tremendous benefit that cannot be enumerated. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ meaning do not bypass them with your eye, with your sight. And do not raise your vision away from them. يعني keep focus on them. تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا, wanting the adornment of this life, of this world. wanting the adornment of the life of this world. فَإِنَّ هَذَا ضَارٌ غَيْرُ نَافِعٌ قَاطِعٌ عَنِ الْمَصَالِحِ الدِّينِيَةِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يُوجِبُ تَعَلُّقَ الْقَلْبُ بِالدُّنْيَا فَتَصِيرُ الْأَفْكَارُ وَالْهَوَاجِسُ فِيهَا وَتَزُولُ مِنَ الْقَلْبِ الرَّغْبَةَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ فَإِنَّ زِينَةَ الدُّنْيَا تَرُوقُ لِلنَّاظِرِ وَتُسْحِرُ الْعَقْلَ فيغفل القلب عن ذكر الله فيغفل القلب عن ذكر الله ويقبل على اللذات والشهوات فيضيع وقته وينفرط أمره فيخسر الخسارة الأبدية والندامة السرمدية. ولهذا قال ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا غفل عن الله فعاقبه بأن أغفله عن ذكره. الله أكبر. Listen to this man. He said very not mixing with the righteous people and removing your sight away from them and being tricked and fooled by the adornment of the life of this world. He said verily this is harmful and not beneficial. This is harmful and not beneficial. And this will become a barrier between you and your religious benefits. This will become a barrier between you and your religious commitment. When you start favoring the adornment of the life of the world. Because this makes the heart become attached to the world. Your heart becomes attached to the world. So then all the thoughts, you almost like hallucinate. All the thoughts become involved about one thing. They become involved in one thing that is pleasing to you. I'll give you an example. Before Islam, back in the Christian days, back in Jahiliyyah. You remember when you wanted something like a car? Ferrari, Porsche, how often would you spend the whole time imagining yourself sitting in the car? You don't even have done business. But you're dreaming about the car, a house. Or if you see some basketball shoes, for those who play basketball, even basketball shoes. I remember for myself, when I was a young man, and Islam was not part of my life, Michael Jordan shoes when they go out, I was thinking nothing, man. In school, at home, before I sleep, when I wake up, 24/7, I'm imagining myself paying money to the person and buying my shoes and putting them on. $300, man. Yani 1,000 riyals. For a pair of shoes, so I could dribble some ball with them. But my mind will be stuck with the shoes for months before they come out. Because they first, Michael Jordan will play with them on the TV. But they will make it to Lebanon in a few months later, after the championship. From the time we see the shoes, all of us, our mind is with the shoes. Right? What happens is, you start your thoughts, your whole life. If it's a woman, your girlfriend in the old days, same thing. Same thing. All you think about is her. She's not even thinking about you. But you're thinking about her 24/7. Because the heart, it gets attached. Now that you're a Muslim, you cannot afford to be like that. You cannot afford to be the same way you used to be before. If everything of the worldly affair is going to attract you, وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. أهلا برزق أهلا برزق. بس we're recording this. May Allah reward you. People listen to this in the future, so they're gonna think we're in a club. You cannot afford the akhwan nowadays. You cannot afford to have a heart become attached to everything. Every time there's a new car, you can think about it. Every time there's a new pants, new jeans, you want to think about it. Every time there's a new sunglasses, you're going to be thinking about it. Your whole life is going to be involved about the matter of the world. It doesn't have to be one thing. It could be everything. Maybe you're a fashion. Maybe you're obsessed with fashion. You always try to look cool. Waalaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Go with me, ya shabab. See what I'm saying? So really, your heart becomes attached to the world. So you're always chasing the new thing, the new thing, the new thing, and that's all you think about, that's all you care about. This is dangerous. And then because of that, the desire for the hereafter is removed. The desire for the hereafter is removed, and it's replaced with the desire for the world. You want everything in the world, so much so that you forget about what's in the hereafter. From preparation, from reward, from pleasure, from beauty, everything has been saved there. You get attached to these little samples, nothing, and you forget about the hereafter. This is the condition of many of us. May Allah Azza wa Jalla pardon us for our nonsense. Because the way Allah has made this world is like that. It's beautiful. It seems to be beautiful. It pleases the eye. You look at some garden, some nice flowers with some nice decoration. It makes you look, you know, it looks good. You enjoy looking at things. And it's like magic to the brain. So the person, the heart becomes heedless from the remembrance of Allah. The heart is overshadowed with the attachment to the world. So the person will just go chasing his pleasure and his desire. He will just chase, oh, okay, this is nice, I get it, this is cool, I get it. Then all day you become concerned about the life. And the hereafter is coming, and you're supposed to be building for there, and you're supposed to be working for there, but the person forgets about there, because he's too busy here, to the point that he forgets that there's a day of judgment, even if he believes. But you forget, many of the Muslims now, they know that there's a day of judgment, that's part of their belief system, but they almost forget. They're so forgetful that the most basic things they don't do, from salah in the masjid, from salah on time, enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, giving da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling the people to the truth, teaching their family members, yeah, it's almost as if none of this is important. If you truly believe, you will be preparing. You will have some sort of preparation. The same way when you prepare for the exam in school, you gotta prepare, man. When you know there's a final exam, you can't be playing around all year. Maybe the first week, maybe the first semester, you know, back in school, we say, okay, I will play around the first, but then at the end, khalas. You know, I will start working hard. Because at one point you have to stop playing. Because you have to prepare for the exam. But if you keep playing all year, at the end of the year, the final exam, you ain't gonna pass, man. You're gonna come, they're gonna give you the exam paper, you're gonna say, what the heck is this? This is foreign. I have no idea what this is. Then you say, if I could go back in the beginning of the year, I had the chance, I could have done good, but it's this guy, you know, he kept telling me, let's go to the mall. And I listened to him, let's go smoke. I listened to him, let's go do this. I listened to him, and I kept missing classes. Now it's too late. Yani, subhanAllah, this is the hereafter. It's like this. Person busy with the world, busy making money, busy buying cars, busy enjoying life, busy, forgetting about Allah, all of a sudden, bow. Death comes, and khalas. No more coming back and this and that. So, this is very important. What leads a person to this? Not mixing with the good people, and chasing the desire and the adornment of this life. That's why the Prophet SubhanAllah, look at the harmony between the Qur'an and the Sunnah. The harmony between the verses of the Qur'an and the actions of the Prophet ﷺ. When he would see something of the world that is pleasing to him, he would say, Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah. Yani, if you see like something of the life of the world that his heart gets attached to, he would remind himself, he would say, oh Allah, verily the real life is the life in the hereafter. Oh Allah, verily the real life is one in the hereafter. And this is the sunnah. If you see a Porsche while you're driving your 1965 pickup truck, and you see a Porsche zooming in front of you, and you say, oh man, nice. Say, Allahumma la aisha illa aisha al-akhirah. Oh Allah, there's no life except the one in the hereafter. Don't get your heart attached to it. Yeah, mashallah, tabarakallah. But don't get your heart attached to it. Remind yourself that the hereafter is better. Anyway, the Prophet said, the place in the hereafter, the, whatever you call it, the table that you put your cane on,
soup, I believe that's what, or the one, whatever it is. Something very significant. He said, the table that you put on the here in Jannah, you put your thing on, is better than this world and everything that's in it. Only that table in the hereafter, compared to the whole world and all the pleasure and all the beauty and from Ferrari and Porsche and women and you name it, whales and oceans and everything, compared to only a table you have in the hereafter, the table is better than all of these in the dunya. From what you really gain. Yeah, I mean beyond your ability, beyond your understanding, if one of the women of paradise was to look over and smile, she would shine the whole universe with the beauty of her smile. But yani all women in the world are nothing compared to one woman in the hereafter. And you will have, inshallah, plenty of them. What is in the hereafter? The Prophet said, verily the example or the similitude of this world to the hereafter is like a person putting his finger in an ocean and taking it out. He said, what would be left? Yani a drop. Can it be more than a drop of water? He said, verily the example of this life to the hereafter is like this drop of water to the ocean. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing here. All this thing that we see is all exaggerated what, in comparison to what is in the hereafter. Wa'alaikum salam. So, yes, you may say, mashallah, tabarakallah, you should, right? Otherwise, you would have an accident down the street, you would catch it with an evil eye. Because we believe in that. At the same time, the sunnah is to say, oh Allah, there's no life except that of the hereafter. Yeah, I mean, don't get your heart attached with it. Because then you will be dreaming about the course for the rest of the day. And maybe it will come to you in your salah. And the objective of the salah is what? That you seek nearness to Allah. That you grow better. That your iman increases. That you look for the hereafter. So you're sitting here thinking about a course? Problem. See what I'm saying? This is the wisdom behind it. So the person will go chasing his desires and the pleasing things to him. So he will waste his time. And his affair will be that of a loser. His affair will become that of a loser. So then he will lose the most horrible loss, the worst loss. And he will have the worst kind of regret. That's what Allah says, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. And do not obey the person whom we have concealed his heart from our remembrance, who has become heedless from remembrance. He said, because this person was heedless about Allah, so Allah punished him by making him heedless of his remembrance. He was heedless about Allah, Allah punished him by making him heedless about remembering Allah. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. Allah says in Surah Al-Hashr, and do not be like those who forgot about Allah, so Allah made them forget about themselves. They forgot about Allah, pleasing Him, seeking His nearness to Him, worshipping Him with love, and enjoying knowing Him. There's a pleasure, there's a sweetness that we may miss because of our evil, our sin. But there's a pleasure that the believer gets in knowing Allah. That the scholars get in knowing Allah. So much so that they said, really, if the kings and those who run this world, if they knew what kind of happiness we are living in, they would fight with us. They would fight with their swords to take it away from us. The scholars and those believers in Allah, they are in such good state of mind. They are in such good condition because they recognize Allah. They know their Lord. They know how to worship Him. They love Him. They are in such a good state that those who have so much money, why are they having all this money? And what is their whole life? They're trying to seek happiness. Right? All of the things that they do from drugs and alcohol and women is what? For happiness. So these believers said, if the kings knew what we have from happiness, wallah, they will come and battle with us. They will fight with us over it. Give us the happiness you have. But something that it cannot be obtained through money. It's something that the believer gets in his heart by recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person whose heart is heedless from the remembrance of Allah, do not be obedient to him. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ أَيْ صَارَ تَبَعًا لِهَوَاهُ.
حيثما اشتهت نفسه فعله وسعى في إدراكه ولو كان في هلاكه وخسرانه. فهو قد اتخذ إلهه هواه كما قال تعالى: أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه وأضله الله على علم الآية. So this person has two qualities. He is heedless of the remembrance of Allah and he followed his desires. He followed his desires. He said, meaning he became a follower to his desires. Whatever his soul desires, he does. Whatever his soul desires, he does. And he will work hard to attain it. He would strive to attain it. Even if in it is his destruction and his loss. Even if in it is his destruction and his loss. So he has really taken his God, his desire as his God. Whatever his desire say, he's obedient. He submits, he does. He takes his own desire. As Allah says Azza wa Jalla in another verse, so have you not seen the person who has taken his desires as his God and Allah led him astray upon knowledge? The verse. And this is important, ya akhwan, because you remember from before Islam, you did whatever your soul wanted. Right or wrong? Whatever you wanted. If you wanted to do it and nobody could see you, you would do it. The only time though you will not do it is for reputation, for the family members not to say, wallah, you're a terrible person. You had some social issues where you really would not do something. Otherwise, if there was no one there and there was room for you to do something and you so wanted it, yallah, ala tu. Nothing will prevent you. Why? Because you have taken your soul, your desires as your God. It tells you, you strive. Even if you know there's destruction. Those who commit fornication. May Allah protect us from this. They know the consequences of sexually transmitted diseases, possibly AIDS. يعني مع السلام. Bye-bye life. You're killing yourself. Possibly the woman becoming pregnant outside the marriage contract. Now you have to deal with a child and a woman that is not your wife. طيب? And what have you? Being caught by the people. Getting other diseases. And what have you? From all the consequences that you know that your destruction may be in this particular act. But if nobody was there, you would still go for it. Before it's done. You would still go for it. Because you want it. And you don't care for the results. Because you are worshipping your desires. They want something, you fulfill. Now that there's belief, there's another scenario. Now you don't do it anymore. Why? Allah is watching. There's hellfire. There's punishment. There's reckoning. There's judgment. There's accountability. How are you going to do it? Who cares whether the people know or not? Who cares whether she will get pregnant or not? Who cares whether you will catch a disease or not? Who cares? What matters is, can you willingly do something like that while you know Allah has made it forbidden? Iman will prevent you. Iman will prevent you. You may fall into sin out of weakness, then you repent to Allah. Nobody's perfect. So a person may still fall into sin, even during these times. But generally speaking, the belief will prevent you. Except in rare situations. As it happened with Yusuf alayhi salam. And with the many narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That among the seven will be under the shade of Allah on the day where there is no shade but his shade. As a man whom a woman of beauty and status called him to herself. Said, come. He said, no, verily I fear Allah. He could, but he didn't. So a belief will prevent you from doing these things. So this is the difference between a person who has taken Allah as his God versus the person who has taken his desires as his God. One is obedient to Allah even if it goes against his desire. The other one is whatever the desires say, he does. Whatever the desires say, which is how we used to be before Islam. We were desire worshippers alongside with the false gods that we thought that we were worshipping. Alongside with the, whatever so-called worship we thought we were performing every Sunday or whatever. The bottom line is that the main God that was controlling everything was our desires. That was the real deal. It wasn't anybody else. Aywa. وكان أمره أي مصالح دينه ودنياه مصالح دينه ودنياه فرطة أي ضائعة معطلة. فهذا قد نهى الله عن طاعته لأن طاعته تدعو إلى الاقتداء به، ولأنه لا يدعو إلا لما هو متصف به. كان أمره فرطة and his affair was that of a loser or that of loss, meaning the benefit he has wasted his religion and his work. And because they were ضائعة, it was lost, معطلة, it was يعني malfunctioning. It wasn't functioning properly. His affair is stopped, lost, and with no benefit. The person who chases his desires. Allah has forbidden obedience to this individual. Allah has forbidden the obedience to this individual because obedience to him entails following him. Obedience to him meaning taking him as a leader or as an example. And because he only goes to that which is like him. And an example to that is the kafil. The kafil. This verse deals with the kafil and anyone in his position. Because he may not care for the salah. You see from his affair that he is waste. He has left, he has forgotten about Allah. So Allah made him forget about himself. You see him negligent about the prayer. You see his own family members are drowning in evil. And he doesn't do nothing to stop them. And he doesn't do his duty as a man to prevent them. Rather his affair is a waste. And he has taken his God as his desire. And he comes at the time of the salah and he tells you, just pray here. Just pray here, pray here. Because we're going to leave right after the prayer. Pray later. Don't pray. Allah had made it forbidden to obey this person. Forbidden. Haram. Because he has the description that Allah gave us. وَاتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. He has taken his own desires as God. We're not saying he's a disbeliever. He's a disobedient. Unless he left alone the salah. If he left the salah completely according to the scholars in this country, he's a disbeliever also. وَكَانَ أَمْرُ فُرُطَ His affair is at loss. He may have money, but he's a loser. Because when the imam says, when the muaddin says, حَيَّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ Come to success. If you don't go there, you're a loser. You're not successful. If Allah is calling you, حَيَّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ Come to success. Twice. Come to success. And you don't listen, wallahi, you're a loser. Loser, big loser. Allah calling you to come to pray and calling it success and you stay at home watching television, you are a loser. You don't obey this kind of person. In terms of religion, it doesn't mean if he tells you something regarding the word, say no, I don't listen to you regarding anything, then it's not going to work out. But if he tells you something that goes against the teachings of Islam, no obedience to him. So you're telling me something and Allah tells me something else. And I don't know, did you create me? Did you create me? Are you going to judge me on the day of judgment? Tell me, do you have any benefit for me on the day of judgment when it comes to my neck being either in the hellfire or the paradise? He would not say that. He cannot tell you yes, unless he's an arrogant fool. Tell him, if you cannot help me then, don't deal with me, don't get me in trouble today. Allah is the one who will judge me. I have an obligation towards my Creator. I have to fulfill my obligation towards his rights before yours. Because me and you are both slaves to Allah. Whether you submit or whether you don't submit, you're a slave to Allah. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you're a slave to Allah. If you think you're better than that, create something for me. Control this world. Heal me if I'm sick. Give me sickness if I'm good. Guide me, misguide me. You can't do none of that, meaning you're a slave of Allah. You're under his control. Of course, you don't want to go with a kafir like this because you might be in the street the next day. But I'm giving you the ideas, you present them properly. You present them in the right fashion with wisdom and good preaching and try to get to the common ground with the person. That, ma'alesh, I'm a new Muslim. And I'm understanding that I have obligations that I have to fulfill towards Allah. I expect of you as my Muslim brother to help me. You are supposed to help me, not make things difficult for me. I'm not asking you for anything special. I'm not telling you double my salary. I'm not telling you I want a 3 months vacation. I'm telling you it's time for Salah. I would like to pray in the masjid like the rest of the men do. Then you want me to take you to China, I'll take you to China. But now during the time of the Salah, we're going to go to the market right now to buy some freaking chocolate or some chips for the children. Why? How do we favor that over that? No, sir, it doesn't make any sense. Yes, yes, we're telling Allah haram. Allah will ask you on the Day of Judgment. Wallah, Allah will ask you on the Day of Judgment, why were you doing this to the creation of Allah? You're addressing yourself, that's a problem. You also want to include me on your account? You want to be responsible for you and for me? At least let me do my thing. Be worried about you. You don't want to pray? Say, why are you putting my sin on your shoulders? Because he will be carrying your sin when he prevents you from going to the Salah. Tell him, you want to carry debt of two? You have your own debt? Worry about it. You want to carry my debt? Leave me alone. Yani common sense. If he is so dumb, Allahumma musta'an. When the contract is over, go work somewhere else. Don't work somewhere else. Go back to the Philippines, come back over here through another kafir. It's not the end of the world. No, Allah is not the end of the world. He's not the sustainer. Allah is the sustainer. He's a test from Allah. To see whether you're going to choose the dunya, you're going to choose this world. Say, okay, no problem. Whatever makes my kafir happy. Even if it doesn't make Allah happy, it's a test. So a person with wisdom, he will choose Allah and His Messenger. Whatever the people want. When Allah sees you struggling, the assistance will come from Allah. Allah will not leave you alone. You will not be in a one-man battle and nobody will be there to help you. The one who will assist you first is Allah Azza wa Jalla. But He will be testing you to see whether you're truthful or whether you're just a pretend. Well, once you are sincere and you strive, Allah will assist you from the least expected sources and the most unimaginable ways. You will find, mashallah, Allah will make a way out for you. But it's a test, and we have to make decisions. So this is part of it. So the kafil may be included, and the one whom Allah has sealed his heart, he forgot about Allah. Allah says, do not obey him. Or commanding Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of us who follow him, do not obey him. ولا تطع, do not obey. من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا. ودلت الآية على أن الذي ينبغي أن يطاع ويكون إماما للناس من امتلأ قلبه بمحبة الله وفاض ذلك على لسانه فلهج بذكر الله واتبع مراضي ربه فقدمها على هواه فحفظ بذلك ما حفظ من وقته وصلحت أحواله واستقامت أفعاله ودعا الناس إلى ما من الله به عليه فحقيق بذلك أن يتبع ويجعل إماما. Listen to this, يا أخوان. This verse, the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, the Shaykh is amazing rahimahullah, said after Allah described those who are not worthy, those who should not obey, be obeyed, you understand from the verse that the person who is supposed to be obeyed and the person who is supposed to be an imam for the people, a leader for the people, the one whom is followed and obeyed, the one whom his heart has become filled with the love of Allah. Ask Allah to make us this individual. The one whom his heart becomes filled with the love of Allah. So the love is filled until it makes it to the tongue. So he is often always remembering Allah. The person is always in the state of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. طيب? And he is always seeking that which is pleasing to his Lord. And he puts it in front of his desire. He favors it in front over his desires. And with that he protected whatever he is able to protect from his time. He utilized his time properly by doing that which is beneficial for him. And his affairs become rectified. And his actions become straight. And then he calls the people to what Allah has bestowed upon him. So verily it is a person such as that is a person who is supposed to be followed and supposed to be the imam. A person like that. Also could be your kafir. If you see your kafir, the one who was early in the salah, the first person in the masjid, you see him always remembering Allah, you take him somewhere, he's always saying, Subhanallah, 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 Alhamdulillah. Always telling you, reminding you about Allah. You may have a righteous kafir. And we've heard that there are some, Alhamdulillah, very upright brothers. This is a person whom you follow, whom you obey, whom you listen to. Because he will be commanding you only to do things that are pleasing to Allah. Maybe you are the one with the shortcomings. And your kafir is the one who's upright. He sees you too lazy, you wake up, go pray in the masjid. Yeah. Go pray in the masjid. Huh? You may, maybe the madam wants you to go, and he doesn't want you to go. He said, but she wants me to go. He said, don't worry about it. I deal with her. You go to the salah in the masjid. Huh? A person like that is the one you follow, and the one you obey. And there's a huge difference between both, as it is apparent to everyone. والصبر المذكور المذكور في هذه الآية هو الصبر على طاعة الله الذي هو أعلى أنواع الصبر وبتمامه تتم باقي الأقسام. And the patience that was commanded in this verse, and be patient. The beginning of the verse, wasbir nafsaka, and be patient with yourself. He said the patience that has been commanded here is the patience dealing with the obedience of Allah. Because there are three kinds of patience. You are patient regarding the acts of worship you're supposed to fulfill. You are patient by refraining from sinning. And you are patient when it comes to the decree of Allah. Example of the first, being patient with fulfilling the obligations is the obligation of salah. It's an act of worship. And you have to be patient in fulfilling it at the right time, in the right place. If you don't have any patience, you will not do it. Huh? You will give up. Quickly you will give up. Say, oh. You will stay at home. But it takes patience to strive with yourself and go and fulfill the ta'ah, the obedience, right or wrong. An example of the second is being patient from disobeying Allah. You see a beautiful woman walking down the street. Now looking at her more than after the first look, you get the first look accidentally, right? You see something moving. You look by nature. In Islam, you are allowed to have this first look. And that is not a 10-second look. Some people think, they keep looking and say it's the first look. No. That look is the glance. Yani as soon as you see, halas. No more. As soon as you see, no more. The first one is yours. Because you can't help it. You didn't know there was a woman. You see someone walking. You look. You find out it's a woman. You look away. You look away. As soon as you look again, you are in trouble. Now the shaitan, he will be holding your neck and turning it. You know what I'm saying. You want to look, but you don't want to look. And you will have a fight inside. This is how men usually are. Yalla, go. But go. Go in the store. Because if you look again, you don't want to see nothing again. You know she's almost gone. She's almost around the corner. And you want to look. The shaitan is turning your head. And it's a harb. It's a battle. It's war. Inside. You need patience. By not disobeying Allah. If you don't have any patience, you will look again.
What about you? If you put your hand up for disobedience?
Look through the fingers. Allah says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورُ. SubhanAllah. Even in the Quran, there is a response for this. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, He knows the trick of the blade. يعني the خائنة الأعين is when a person, like let's say I'm with you here. I do not let you see, I trick you, I see her, but I don't let you know. It's called qayanat al-ayun. Yani you, it's fake, it's magic to the eyes. It's a trick to the people who don't know that you looked. Maybe you wear some glasses, huh? Some dark sunglasses. And you think you are righteous. And the people don't know that you're looking, but you're looking. Allah knows. Allah says, Ya'lam, Allah knows. قائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور and what the hearts can see. يعني قائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. So you can look through the fingers, you may trick me, but you're not tricking Allah عز وجل. And the whole affair is about what Allah knows, not about what I know. So you need to have patience for not sinning again. You need to fight with yourself not to disobey Allah. This is the second kind of patience. The third kind of patience is decree. You get in a car accident, you are sick, somebody who you love dies, طيب, you need to have patience on what Allah has decreed. You don't freak out. Huh? You don't freak out. Why? As the kuffar always do. Why, oh God? What do you mean, why, oh God, man? Be quiet, man. You telling God why? Who are you? What do you mean why? What do you know about the wisdom of Allah? What do you know about the mercy of Allah? It's a mercy for you, and you don't know it. It may be a mercy for you, but you don't know it. Allah is the most wise. You don't understand. So if something happens, we accept. So that's why in Islam, it's forbidden for the women. It's forbidden for the women in the case of death to slap themselves and to rip their clothes and to act foolishly. Rather, you submit to the decree of Allah. You get sad. It's okay. As the Prophet ﷺ, when he buried his son Ibrahim, he cried. They told him, even you, O Messenger of Allah, you cry? He said, verily, the heart feels sad. And the eye sheds tears. And this is the departure of my son. I am very sad. But I only say that which is pleasing to Allah. Verily, to Allah will belong and to Allah will shed a tear. So you will feel sad, but it cannot go to extreme. Where you act upon it. And you start being displeased with the decree of Allah. Huh? So this is the three levels of patience. And this is and the best kind, as it comes as I mentioned here, the best kind of patience out of the three is the one that deals with obedience to Allah, where you are patient in obeying Allah Azza wa Jalla. And when this one is complete, the other three will also be complete according to how complete the first one is. والصبر طيب وفي الآية استحباب الذكر والدعاء والعبادة طرفي النهار لأن الله مدحهم بفعله وكل فعل مدحه الله مدح الله فاعله دل ذلك على أن الله يحبه على أن الله يحبه وإذا كان يحبه فإنه يأمر به ويرغب فيه. He says also there's an indication in this verse about the recommendation of dhikr, remembrance, and supplication and worship during the two edges of the day, meaning during the morning and during the evening, because Allah Azza wa Jal praised those who do that in this verse. And every action which Allah praised, every action which Allah praise the doer is an indication that Allah loves it. And if Allah loves it, that means Allah commands it and He encourages people to do it. طيب. وقل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر إنا أعتدنا للظالمين نارا أحاط بهم سرادقها وإن يستغيثوا يغاثوا بماء كالمهل يشوي الوجوه بئس الشراب وساءت مرتفقا. Somebody read verses 29 and 30 in English, please. Repeat your question.
Yeah, my question is my quotation, I am a salesman.
Yes.
And I am dealing with a customer.
Yes.
Sons are ladies.
Yes.
And I have to look at them when I am selling, of course.
Yes.
And sometimes they have opened up eyes, so what should I do with it?
But you don't have to look at them, by the way. You do not have to look at them, particularly if they're not dressed properly, because you're exposing yourself to fitna. They are in a Muslim country.
and they understand the way they sub. If you even in America, you can get by. Let alone here. Yeah, and she's not gonna wonder why aren't you looking at me. It's common sense. And what are you wearing? طيب. So you can conduct business without looking at her particularly. You can do whatever you need to do without having to look at her. What's the objective of looking at her? That she will not be offended? You can tell her, I'm sorry, I respect the Muslim woman, and I would not like to, I want somebody to look at my sister, I would not want somebody to look at my mother, my daughter, so I would not want to look at somebody else's sister or mother or daughter. This is out of respect for you. I do not mean to be disrespectful by not looking at you. Rather, this is respect. And kindly, yani, do not be offended by it. The objective here is that we get business done. And inshallah, we will be doing just that. You can say that. For example, if it's going to cause trouble for you with the people in charge and what have you, then look for another job.
You can sell
products, yeah? You can sell anything else. If you're a salesman, usually a salesman can sell anything. He will sell you a napkin. If you're a salesman, it's not what you're selling. It's you either have the means and the ability to sell or you don't. So find something else. I don't know, does it affect you or not? And when you're looking at a woman with her abaya open,
yeah,
of course. It's a fitna.
I don't know at them, but when I go for a business, example, I was a cook. So I look at them first, then in the second look, I have a problem, right?
Yes.
So when I offer a t-shirt, so I have to look at them again. This
new
t-shirt.
Allah is back. You need a
special. Well, I can have just like this. This is a good t-shirt.
Yeah.
I have to look at this.
Yes, you do. But the scholars have mentioned that there are times of necessity where during business transactions where it may be permissible and what have you. But it's very sensitive. Because each person is different, the people vary. To you, this look may be a big deal. To someone else, it may not be a big deal. And you're still young, mashallah. Right? So, I personally would advise you to avoid the whole thing, if possible. And Allah will give you something better in return. And if you're a salesman, you can sell anything, mashallah. It shouldn't be a problem. But you give them a t-shirt, so they try a t-shirt, and they look at them with a t-shirt on? Or they, you just...
No, I just
offer
a t-shirt that I have to look at her face.
Does she
accept that she rejects?
Yes.
Does she approve?
Yeah, and some of the scholars, they give a concession in times of necessity like that. But you need the fatwa. You need a fatwa because it's I don't know, I cannot really comfortably tell you go ahead.
Even in the cheer, if they will pay, I have to go out there to give the change or to ask for the customer.
Yeah, that's why the scholars have made these things more easy when it comes to buying and selling. But on the condition that the woman fears Allah and she doesn't overdo it, she's going to be sitting there he can ha laughing with you or chit-chatting with you, and that's a whole other story. You know what I'm saying? That's a major fitna. And I can hardly, if she has her abaya open on the set, yeah, everything else is worse.
In red, I think there is a sort that initially before. There are some ladies who do the voodoo rather than
Anyways, we will discuss it next week, inshallah. Subhanakallah, wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.